Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Thursday night. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word Man broadcast. And once again, we're grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at, doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word of Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. Phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address at godswordsman@gmail.com. That's GodsWord2man@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, before we go into the lesson today, let us pray. So wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us petition the Lord to gather for His Spirit to be with us and shed light in areas that is dark. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for another blessed day and an opportunity to go into the Word of God. We're grateful, Lord God, that you give your Spirit to those who receive you. We thank you that through your Spirit, the true source of revelation is given. Therefore, Lord, this day we come and we humble ourselves before you, and we petition you that your Spirit to not only be with us, but to shed light in areas where it seemed to be dark to us. We ask for the revelation that comes from the Holy Ghost. And Lord God, we want to know your plan. So therefore, Lord, every soul, every ear, every heart that is tuned into this broadcast to seek to know the truth, Lord God, I pray that you will unveil it to them right now. In the name of Jesus, let your Spirit witness to them of this truth, and let your Spirit witness to them of a truth that you have called me as well as others to give this word, this message out to the listeners. So, Lord God, we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise, and we magnify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus, because he is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to go into another one of the messages that the Lord Jesus Christ has sent through the Elijah. And for those of you that are first-time listeners, the Lord wants you to know that he has been sending his angel from the court rims of heaven with a message for mankind, to mankind, they that you know, the people of the Lord and they that will be of his bride. According to Matthew chapter 17 and Malachi chapter 4, the promise of the Lord to send the Elijah before the great and dreadful day or before the second coming of Christ. We know from the scriptures here that the Elijah is none other than not just John the Baptist, but the resurrected John the Baptist. Amen. The same one who is known as that prophet from Deuteronomy chapter 18 and 18 and Acts chapter 3. And so the Lord has not only me, but as others who have received this word, we've been commissioned to take this word to the ends of the earth, to tell everyone that are listening about the work that Jesus is doing in his last days in the sending of the Elijah. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, first started sending the Elijah in 1927. To a brother named Brother Otto Fetty, and he sent the Elijah 30 times to him from 1927 to 1933. And then from 1937 to 1994, he sent the angel, the Elijah, 90 more times to a brother named Brother W.A. Draves for a total of thus far 120 times. His coming is not ended. He will continue to come as the Lord sent him and according to as the work of the Lord is finished after the pattern. I had the pleasure once again to meet Brother W.A. Draves, who passed in 1994. I got a chance to know him for 4 years. And as I say once again, and I'm not saying that no one else is humble, but in my lifetime, thus far, he is the humblest man I've ever met in my life. Amen. And I thank God for him. And I saw the humility of the Lord Jesus upon him, operating within him. And therefore, it is truly indeed a blessing to have known him. Amen. I did get a chance to go to his home where this angelic being appeared. And, you know, into the very room where this angelic being was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going into one of the messages tonight. And one of these messages is when Jesus sent the Elijah the 91st time. The 91st time that he sent his angel, where he sent him July the 15th, 1972. Amen. And we're going to go into some of the verses, the scriptures of what Jesus sent through the Elijah in this message. There is a total of about 49 verses. I'm not here to tell you that we're not going to get all 49 tonight. We'll go as far as the Spirit of the Lord would take us. Amen. And so we're going to start out with the first verse here. And as I gave you the date, because I don't have a problem giving you dates, because I want you to search this up. For those of you that are listening and said, well, you know, I don't know if it's true, but I give you the benefit of doubt just listening. Okay, do that. And then after that, go to the Lord about what I'm telling you. Amen. Because that's what he's commissioned me to do, to tell you and to point you to Christ. Amen. To get your answer, to see whether this is true or not. Amen. And so in this 91st time, when Jesus sent the Elijah, according to Brother W.A. Draves, who said that he went to go to bed a little after midnight, that shortly this angelic being, the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, appeared unto him. And here's some of the things he said. Remember that angels of the Lord speak from the authorization that's given to them by Jesus Christ. So what they come to tell you, they have been authorized by Jesus to say what they say unto you. Amen. And so the first thing he said to Brother Draves, he said, behold, arise and write the message I will give to you. I come from the Lord's presence, moreover, the Christ who is Lord and God. Now, as I said before, Brother W.A. Draves said that he went to go to bed a little after midnight, and shortly after being in the bed, this angelic messenger appeared. And he tells Brother Draves to arise and write the message that he's given to him, okay? And when you read throughout the messages, you would notice that, you know, God's timing is God's timing. And many times the angelic being appeared late at night or in the wee hours of the morning. And he would tell Brother Draves to arise. He said, first he said, behold, which means I want you to see this, and arise and write the message that he was given to him. And then he goes to say, he said, I come from the Lord's presence, moreover the Christ who is Lord and God. Now, we want to notice that this, what this angel said in his message, in that part right there, he calls Jesus Christ Lord and God. Amen? Because Jesus is Lord and God. You know, when we tell some people about the sending of the Elijah by Jesus Christ, one of the scriptures they throws up, they say, from Galatians, I think it's chapter 1, where Paul said, if anybody else preach any other gospel or any angel preach any other gospel, let them be accursed. Well, I come to let them know and to notify them that this is no any other gospel. Now, if this, quote, angel or angelic being of the Lord would have said that Jesus Christ is not Lord and God, then, yes, he would be preaching another gospel. Amen. But here in this verse here, he said that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. Amen. And according to the scriptures, even from the Bible, that supports this. So this is another thing that let me know that this is of God, because he called Jesus Christ Lord and God. And so he said, I come from the Lord's presence. Not merely from just the presence of angels. He come standing from directly before the presence of the Lord. And therefore God sent him from his presence with this message here to earth to give to mankind. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, the next thing he says, I am your fellow servant and my name is John. I am resurrected. I was resurrected when Christ arose from the tomb. I am the Elijah, the messenger of the Lord. I am his forerunner. I have come in the past. I have spoken his will, and I shall come in the future. I come in his appointing. My message is one of love to those that heed and obey it. Now, let's hear that, what he said. First thing, he said that he is a fellow servant, and he says, he tells us his name. Amen? Hallelujah. Here, the angelic being said that I am a fellow servant. I'm a servant like you. And see, one of the things that we must understand that this angelic being was doing is keeping us from worshiping him. Remember in Revelation when the angel of the Lord appeared to John the Revelator, what was one of the things John the Revelator was about to do? The Bible said he went to fall down and worship him. And the angel stopped him and said, see, did you do it not? Because I am of thy brethren, the prophets. He said, I am a fellow servant. Okay? Amen. If any angelic being appears to you and allow you to fall down and worship him, that angelic being is not of God. Okay? And remember what the Bible tells us, that Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. So we are given in the word of God clues that we can use to find out whether something is of God or not. Amen? So this angel says, he is a fellow servant. He said, my name is John. Then he goes to explain how is this so. Because we know that some of you will hear this and you will say, well, hey, wait a minute. You're telling me that John has come back as an angel? No. The last time I read about John in the scriptures, he was beheaded. He was killed. That could not be so. So this angel goes to explain how is this so. He said, I am resurrected. I was resurrected when Christ rose from the tomb. Now, if you take a journey back to Matthew chapter 27, you will see that the Bible said that after Christ rose, those that the bodies of the saints which were in the grave arose too. And therefore, we know that John was one of those saints. So therefore, he rose when Christ arose. Amen? So this angelic being, John the Baptist, the resurrected one, he said, I am resurrected and I arose when Christ arose from the tomb. Because now he's letting you know who paved the way for the resurrection to be, Jesus Christ. It was not a man. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was the one that paved the way for the resurrection to be. Praise be to God. Now, he goes on to say, I am the Elijah, the messenger of the Lord. Now, if we will follow the scriptures in Matthew chapter 17, we see that Jesus had, you know, made that known unto the disciples that John the Baptist is the Elijah. Remember when they was on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Now, that Elijah they saw was not John the Baptist. It was Elijah the Tishbite. And therefore, when they saw Elijah the Tishbite and they saw that mainly what he just did was just talk with Christ, it came to mind to them what the scribes had been telling the people, that Elijah truly must first come. And so, therefore, they approached Christ with this question. And the question was, why do the scribes say that Elijah must truly first come? Okay? Why did they ask such a question? Because they had saw Elijah, and to them, he really didn't do anything spectacular because they kept hearing the scribes say, Elijah must come, Elijah must first come, must first come. And they didn't understand that, okay, all this you're talking about Elijah coming, we saw him, he didn't do nothing spectacular, so why did the scribes say that? Well, when you read that 17th chapter of Matthew, you will see that Jesus began to not only confirm that what the scribe said was true, but he gave revelation. Amen. He said that, yes, Elijah truly shall first come, and then the revelation comes in and restore all things. So he told them the purpose of Elijah coming. But then he went a step further.
He said, I say unto you that Elijah's come already, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer. And when you read that 13th verse, it tells you, it said, then they understood that he spake of John the Baptist. So now Jesus have made it clear to them who the Elijah is that must first come and restore all things. That the Elijah that they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration is not the Elijah that God had picked to restore all things. The Elijah that Jesus had picked to restore all things is none other than the resurrected John the Baptist. Now, when you read that 17th chapter, you would notice that if you went three chapters ahead, that's when John the Baptist was beheaded. So when Jesus is saying that Elijah, who is John the Baptist, must first come and restore all things, and John was already beheaded, there he's telling you that John was going to come back. And so the only way John can come back after being beheaded is that he had to come back as a resurrected being. Hallelujah. And so Jesus was speaking to that. So here in this message, thank you, Jesus, the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah, the heavenly angelic being of the Lord says that, he said, I am the Elijah, the messenger of the Lord. Now, when he says the messenger of the Lord, then now he is taking us to Malachi chapter 3, when God used Malachi to say, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Well, when we go to Matthew chapter 11, then Jesus clearly reveals to us who this messenger is that Malachi was talking to or talking about. Because remember, on Matthew chapter 11, remember, as he talked to the multitudes, the Bible said he talked to the multitudes concerning John. And he goes on to tell, say, behold, this is he of whom is written, behold, I send my messenger. And so, therefore, Jesus had given them revelation to what they heard. They heard of a messenger being sent by God, but did not know who that messenger was. And so, therefore, the time had come for this revelation to come to them, who the messenger was. And so, therefore, he said, this is he of whom it is spoken. Behold, I will send my messenger. And so, therefore, in this message here, the angelic being, the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, said, I am the Elijah, the messenger of the Lord. And he goes on to say, I am his forerunner, okay? I am the one to come before him. Now, we must understand that when John, being in a position as a forerunner, because that's also what a messenger is, that was a twofold application. See, that being a forerunner was not just for him when he went before Christ in the flesh, but also before he go to before Christ in the spirit, amen? Before he go Christ in the second coming of Christ. So when he came before Christ in Christ's first coming, he came in the flesh, okay? Now he come before Christ's second coming with a resurrected body, a spiritual body in the name of Jesus, a glorified body in Jesus' name, amen? Hallelujah. And so he goes on to say, I have come in the past, I have spoken his will, and I shall come in the future. So therefore he said, now he tells us, and remember, this is the 91st message, which is the 91st time that Jesus has sent him. And he said, I have come in the past. And he said, I have spoken his will. Whose will? The will of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and I will come in the future. And he was letting them know, say, hey, I came in the past. My work is not over with. And he said, I will come in the future. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then he goes on to say, I come at his appointing. And let's stop there for a minute. Because he says, I have come in the past, and I've spoken his will, and I will come in the future, and I come at the Lord's appointing. Therefore, he's telling you that I don't come on my own timing. See, the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah, is not someone walking around in heaven, talking with the other angels and getting together with them and just having a talk and say, hey, you know what, I think I will go down to earth and visit Brother W.A. Draves. In fact, I go down there, and I just going to speak some words to him, you know, because I just feel like I want to visit him. That is not how the angels of the Lord appear, okay? They come at the appointing time of the Lord. That whenever the Lord Jesus said go, they go. Whenever the Lord said, I want you to take this message, that's what they do. And so, therefore, the Elijah is telling us in his message, he said, I've spoken in the past, I've spoken the Lord's will, and I will come in the future, I come at the Lord's appointing. So he lets you know, I'm coming in the future. I'm coming at the time that God in the future appoints me to come. Amen. It is not under my own coming.
Amen. Now, he goes on to say, my message is one of love to those that heed and obey it. It's a message of love, okay? It's not a message of hate, not a message of deception. It's a message of love, a true love, okay? Hallelujah, glory. Halabashata. You know, when we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which I call the love chapter, that whole chapter or the majority of that chapter, explains to you about love. Now, understand this love for a minute here. This love is not natural human love. This is the agape or the God kind of love. And here, Paul is used by the Lord to actually define and break down to you how the agape or the God kind of love operates. And so, therefore, he said that, you know, it seeketh not his own, okay? And so, therefore, when the angel said, I come with a message of love to those that heed and obey it, in other words, he said, I'm coming to seek for your welfare, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love rejoices not in iniquity. And so he's saying, I bring a message that doesn't rejoice in wickedness, okay? Amen. Any kind of message brought to you by a supposed to be angelic being from the Lord that rejoices in iniquity, you better get away from him quick because that message is not from the Lord. Amen? Praise be to God. Now, he said this message is one of love to those that heed and obey it. Okay? You got to heed and obey the word of God, you know? Hallelujah. See people, you know, for example, you look in many churches today, and you have some people, when you talk to them on Monday morning, you know, and you talk to them, and you say, hey, what did you do yesterday? Oh, I went to church. And then they say, oh, that preacher really could preach. And some of them actually heard the word by ear. But people don't understand what they miss out is that to get the blessing or the benefit from the word, you have to obey. So just hearing it is part of it, and you have to take heed and obey it, okay? So you can actually be listening and hearing the word of God and actually be attentive to it, but if you don't put action to it, then you will miss the blessing and the manifestation and the pleasing of God with it, amen? Thank you, Jesus. Now, the angel of the Lord goes on to say in this message, he said, my mission is that the church may be fully prepared at the Lord's coming. I come to prepare a people, the Lord's bride. Yea, let all hear what the Lord has commanded me to say. Now, this angel says, he said, my mission is that the church be fully prepared at the Lord's coming. So that's in the mission that Jesus had been sending him to do, that the church may be fully prepared, okay? Now, we have been preaching, many of us have been preaching rapture and preaching any time or any day now we could be gone, but yet still fail to understand that nobody's fully prepared. To say that we can be, that Christ will come and get us any time, you're saying that we're fully prepared, there's no way. The body of Christ in general or complete as a whole is not fully prepared for the Lord's coming. We're not. And you say, well, how is this so? You know, you're saying that we're not. How is this so? Well, we can look at different things to prove that we're not fully prepared. Number one, lack of unity in Christianity. Okay? We are separated. And whether many of you want to admit it or not, it's very evident even among sinners. I mean, the sinners see that. I mean, any two times you have sinners come, you know, say, well, okay, what church do I go to? You know, I'm looking at four or five different churches on the block under different names, and some call themselves a this and some call themselves a that. Who I go to? And see, we fail to understand that Christ
when he set up the church, he set up a unified church. He didn't set up a church separated by denominational names and titles and you this and you that and you believe this and you believe that. That is not the setup of the Lord Jesus Christ, and neither is he coming to any kind of setup that way. The only setup he's coming to is the setup that he arranged. And so now the angel of the Lord said, my mission is that the church, now who's the church, the building? No, the church is the people. The people, the believers, the body of believers, be fully prepared, okay, at the Lord's coming. And he said, I come to prepare a people, the Lord's bride, which the angel of the Lord told us in Luke chapter 1, that is one of the missions of John the Baptist, when he go before Jesus in the spirit and power of Elijah, okay, to prepare people for the Lord, okay? Once again, that is a twofold application on that one, because not only was he prepared the people for the Lord when Christ first came, when he said, behold, the Lamb of God, but it was also a future application that dealt with Christ's second coming, that he said, prepare a people for the Lord, amen? And many times God in the scriptures would speak like that. It has a twofold application. It's not just onefold, but it's a twofold application. Amen? So here the Elijah said that, you know, I come to prepare a people, the Lord's bride. Amen? Then he goes, he said, yea, let all hear what the Lord has commanded me to say. Let all hear. Not some. God wants all to hear what this angelic being is bringing from the Lord Jesus Christ to mankind. Once again, and I've said this many times before, we do not serve a God that is prejudiced. We do not serve a God that just want black people to hear what he say, or just want white people, just want Chinese, whatever. He said, let all hear. He's not a God that wants just men to hear or just women to hear. Okay? I see, that's another thing I can bring up of why we in the body of Christ is not prepared, because we have been biased in many areas, okay? Some of us would just preach the word to just people, quote, in our denomination. You know, you won't preach the word to many other people, okay? Some of them has a problem with gender problem, with the women, you know. Don't believe that the women have a place in the body of Christ or work to do, or some of them are against men. There are some churches, women churches, that, you know, is against men, okay? I mean, they, you know, you come across them, man, they don't have too good to say about a man, okay? Period, you know. Amen. So, now, let's go on. He goes on to say, the angel says, I have brought the authority of the holy priesthood and reiterated and affirmed it. Will you keep it sacred that the work of God may be accomplished and salvation comes to the humble, those that are full of love and obey the will of the Lord? Now the angel of the Lord said, I have brought the holy priesthood, the authority of the holy priesthood, okay, and reiterated, brought it back and affirmed it. He said, will you keep it sacred or holy that the work of God may be accomplished and salvation comes to the humble, those that are full of love and obey the will of the Lord? The holy priesthood, authority of the holy priesthood, that which God has consecrated for the priesthood, the ministry to do on the authorization particular things, but God said, will you keep this holy? And so you have many today who walking in the ministry, but they're not keeping sacred and holy the things that God has authorized for them to do. Let me give you an example. Let's talk about the communion. And I know that what I'm about to say here, some may get offended. I love you in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. But I have to say this. The example, the communion. You got some churches, they just give communion to anybody. I mean, you can be, you know, whoremonger, just coming in off the street, just doing whatever, no repentance, No thinking about repentance, just want to sit in the church, and you are given communion. You know, I talked to one man some years ago, and he was kind of surprised when I talked to him about that. And I said, hey, you know, communion just don't go to just anybody. And he just had a surprise look, and he told me, he said, well, Brother Nate, my pastor give communion to just anybody. I said, well, no, that ain't supposed to be. You look in the scriptures, the communion was given to those that were believers. And even those that were supposed to be believers had to check themselves that you didn't take it in unbelief, okay? And so God is about whatever he consecrates to be holy, it is left to be holy. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's what he's doing in these last days through the Elijah. He is preparing a people who will walk in full holiness, that whatever he has called sacred or consecrated, that they will keep it holy. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Because, see, this is the way that the work of God is going to be fully accomplished, that it has to be kept holy. You know, I think about the gospel music world today, and it's, quote, called gospel music. But now if you listen to what is called gospel music, it has a mix of a lot of secular music songs. And see, that's what is happening. That's why it has lost its effectiveness. Because when you take that which is holy and mix it with worldly, the effectiveness is lost. You don't have the movement of the spirit, because God is not joining with the secular per se, in quote, in winning souls. And see, this is the problem we have today. So now you got your gospel artists uniting with worldly secular artists saying to be doing gospel songs. And all it is songs to get your flesh jumping. It is not songs to minister to your spirit. And so therefore, even the sinners see and they say to themselves, hey, this is easy. Only thing I got to tell them that my grandmama was a prayer warrior and she prayed for me and, oh, I want to make a gospel song. And next thing you know, they all jumping in on the boat and joining with them. Now, the question is God pleased with this? I can answer that for you. No, he's not. Because one thing about it, once again, what God consecrated or called sacred or to be holy, God intends for it to stay holy, okay, and not mixing it. Praise be to God. This is the way that the work of God is going to be accomplished and salvation will come to the humble, okay? Because when you look at it, the way they're ministering, you know, it's more ministering to the flesh, not to the spirit, okay? And therefore, some of these same so-called gospel artists fail to understand that you're talking about, well, I got them in the church. Yeah, but many of them same people wants to hear that kind of beats and secular music you're giving in the church. And if you don't get that going in the church, they get, quote, bored, and I don't want to come no more. Because why? They're more focusing on that beat and that kind of music per se that you made. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go on. The angel of the Lord goes on to say, fear not, for this is the Lord's work. I have come to you. I have called other servants to help in this work. Though they be few, yet a great work can be done. For the Lord of the vineyard should labor also, that the work might be done, for it must go on in haste. Now he says, fear not, for this is the Lord's work. He tells us not to fear. And even though you may see certain things arise that comes to hinder or hinder you or hinder the work of the Lord, God said, don't fear. Okay? He said, this is the Lord's work, which means that in the end and overall, God is going to overrule this thing, whatever it may be, that even Satan is using to try to hinder the Lord's work from going forward. Amen? He goes on to say, I have come to you. Okay? He tell Brother Jay, he said, I have come to you. Then he said, I have called other servants to help in this work. He have called other servants. The Lord have called other servants. Okay? Even through him. Amen? Glory to Gidoboshata. Glory. Hallelujah. That's why I say to those of you who are listening, make sure that if someone comes to you and say, you know, you're a prophet of the Lord, and I know you're because you got to make sure that that calling is from the Lord, okay? I've come across too many people who have felt pressured into particular positions by either get this their pastor or one of the known sisters in the church who've been in the church for a while who say, you know, I can tell, I see you. You are a preacher. I can see you're a pastor. You are this and that. And in their heart, they're like, I'm not sure this is what I'm supposed to do. But you got to make sure that whatever your calling comes from the Lord. Now, we must understand this. God can call you through others, okay? But you got to make sure it's from the Lord. You have to check. And he said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So one of the witnesses have to come to your spirit. Do not jump in up and move and jump into a position because whether it's your pastor, a notable sister, a mother in the church or whoever, a notable man of God in the church tell you, and I'm not telling you that all the time they're wrong. They could be right, but you have to know in your spirit that what they're telling you is from the Lord. Amen? So the angel of the Lord said, I have called others in this, to help in this work. And he said, though they be few, yet a great work can be done. You know, to those of you that was listening to me yesterday, I was talking for a minute about the numbers. And so today, and don't get me wrong, God is for growth. I want to get that straight before I go any further, because I know some of you might jump the gun and say, well, you know, God, Brother Nate said God ain't for that, you know, all them big churches, blah, blah, and having all those people. I didn't say that. I say he's for growth. But what happened is people focus on the numbers. And they think that having, quote, the numbers is the only way you can do a work for the Lord. So, for example, you may have just those who have in a church, maybe just 7 members. And they might be thinking, say, well, we ain't got enough people to do the work. We need some more people. And they think about having 50 and 60 people, or now we can do a work for. No, no. God can start with one. God can start with two. And the work of the Lord can be done. Amen? So I say that to say this, that the Lord has said right here through his angelic being that he have called others to help in this work. And this work of what? In telling them about the sending of Elijah, the restoration of all things. Amen? And he said, though they be few, yet a great work can be done. See, God can do a great work with few. Amen? I know some people don't believe that. They're stuck on having big numbers. You see, God is going to show them, amen, that he can do a great work with few. Amen. Now give me one or two believers that's for real, then 300 that is not or just straddling the fence. I can do a lot with that one or two believers that's for real. Amen. Now, he goes on to say, for the Lord of the vineyard shall labor also, that the work might be done, for it must go on in haste. So he said, the Lord of the vineyard shall labor also. So when we're going out there laboring for the Lord, God wants you to know, he said, you ain't by yourself. You ain't by yourself. I'm laboring with you. He said that the work might be done, for it must go on in haste. It's not a time to be playing around. You know, some people, you know, sitting on their hands, as the expression be given sometimes, talking about I'm waiting on the Lord to do a work for the Lord. And the Lord said, this is a time of haste. This is a time where the work of the Lord must go forth. Amen? And it must go forth in haste. And there's too much playing around, people. Too much playing around. This is why I got great respect once again for missionaries who goes over there into other countries and carrying the gospel, who have left family behind, who have put their lives on the line that the gospel
may be taken to the souls of those who haven't heard it. I have great respect for them. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, the next message he said, the next verse rather, he said, my warning message is let all men everywhere come repentant before the Lord, cry mighty unto him that they may find deliverance. Now, let's stop there for a minute. He said, let all men everywhere come repentant before the Lord. Now, here's the thing with some professing Christians. When it comes to repentance, they think that only that's supposed to be done by the sinner man. And they fail to understand that, or fail to want to hear that sin does not change what it is or what it could do or what it can bring simply because you got saved. Okay? It's not going to change, you know, what it is simply because you got saved. And some, quote, professing Christians actually believe it does. You know, when the sinner man do it, they say, oh, that's a sin. But when they do it, it's excused. Like, it's not a sin. No. And we must keep that all in mind. That's why he said, let all come. Let all men everywhere. Once again, it doesn't matter what race or gender you are. He said, let all men everywhere come repentant. Okay? We got to quit preaching repentance and making it like it's only for particular people. He said, let all men everywhere do it. All men, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All men, let all men everywhere come repentant before the Lord. And he said, cry mightily unto him that they might find deliverance. Because see, it's the will of God that you be delivered from whatever sin that have you bound. God said, cry mightily unto him that you may find deliverance. Then he goes on to say, except they repent, they cannot be redeemed from that awful state. Okay? See, Christ, the Bible tells us in Galatians 3 that he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. That's true. But for that to be totally activated in our life, the power of it, there's something we have to do. See, for example, we tell many sinners that Christ died for their sin, and that's true. But the benefit from it does not become automatic until they do what? Accept Christ as Lord and Savior. You understand what I'm saying? And so, hallelujah. And so, by them having to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, that's when the power of what Christ done becomes effective in their lives. Okay? And so if you proclaim it to them and they don't accept Christ as Lord, then the power of that won't become effective in their lives. I mean, it doesn't mean that that's something that Christ didn't do. Christ did do for them and providing in such a way, but the power of it that brings the true effectiveness in their life could not be. Why? Because they didn't do their part. And so here he say through the angelic messenger, except they repent, they cannot be redeemed. Hallelujah. They can't be delivered from the sin. They can't be delivered from heading to hell, okay, except they repent. They can't be delivered from that sickness or that disease or from the poverty, except they what? Except they repent. Repentance, when you look in Hebrews 6, is one of the foundational principles, okay? That's one of our that's part of our foundation in Christ. We don't never need to get off of that. But see, the problem I see with some, even in the ministry, is that they have gotten away from preaching repentance. And so if you bring it up, they will cut you off quickly. So you ain't got to tell them that. They already know they need to repent. And so I say to them, I say, well, okay. So Jesus, when the Bible said, and I believe that's Matthew 4, that Jesus went about and preached, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So if you feel like, hey, you don't need to tell people to repent, they already know it,
The question is, when Jesus did it, did the people know they was in sin? Well, apparently so, because remember, the woman they brought to him that was caught in adultery, and they tried to bring her with Moses said stone her, Jesus said, he that without sin, let him cast the first stone. So what happened? They all dropped their stones because they knew they had sin in their life. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, he goes on to say, for the way of redemption is prepared that whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. Whosoever will, of your own free choosing. Listen, Jesus had told us to preach salvation to the people. Now, he didn't say force them, but try to force them to accept Christ as Lord. See, my job is to tell you about Jesus. If you're not saved, how that you can receive Christ as Lord. It is not my job to try to force you to get on your nerves, to try to take you against your will, to get you to accept Christ. That is not my job. Once I've been told you, that's it. I done my job, okay? You got too many out there who are literally trying to force people, quote, to accept Christ as Lord. You're doing more damage than good. In fact, you'll cause that heart to not truthfully accept them. They'll just be saying something just to get you off their back. And you don't want to do that, amen? You don't want to do that at all. So he said that the way of redemption is prepared. Christ already had prepared. That whosoever will walk, whosoever will may walk there and be saved. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see. We may take one more verse here. And he says, God worketh not in subtle manners. He don't work in deceiving or evil ways, nor in evil ways, nor in delusion, such as Satan and man do it. See, you got some people that's doing some stuff in a low-down way. They say, well, you know, the Lord led me or God had me do it. No, that's in a deceiving way? No. No, God is not having you to be deceiving, okay? Because if God had you be deceiving, that's out of his character or his nature, okay? God does not carry a deceiving nature. Now, Satan does. That's why he said God does not work in subtle manners like Satan and man do it, okay? So you might want to keep that in mind because you might be, some of you, maybe coming across particular people who you know that what they're doing is low down and dirty, but claiming the Lord at the same time, okay? And maybe you're confused. Like you say, okay, I know they claim to be a Christian, but, man, what they doing, man, this thing is like so low down. But they're telling me that it's the Lord. I'm here to tell you that ain't the Lord, okay? That's them or Satan using him, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the precious word of the Lord. Amen, and he's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Praise be to God. So, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, once again, it's been another blessed day in the Lord, another golden opportunity you have given us, Father, to go into your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that has been listening tonight. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them, witness to them of the truthfulness of your word here today, and then we'll shout in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, I thank you, and I glorify and magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. All glory and honor and praise go unto thee. In Jesus' almighty name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you. Now listen to the broadcast. Don't forget, Lord say the same tomorrow night, heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And I will also be joining them. Praise be to God. Look for the advertisement, Lord say the same at 7 o'clock p.m. as well as Saturday night. Praise be to God. So once again, I thank God for all of you. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast. And may the Lord bless you and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our lives and into our hearts. We need you. Almighty.